Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
How is one school district responding to COVID-19? Let's go in-depth with Cassie Pearson, superintendent of Knoxville Public Schools. This is a tough school year, isn't it, Cassie?
Challenging would probably be an easy word to put out there for the start of the school year and the finish of last school year as well. I am really proud, though, of the efforts of our entire team and our community, our parents that sent their kids back to school. When you've got a global pandemic happening, as a parent, all you probably want to do is keep your kids right beside you and make sure that they're safe 24/7. And at the same time, you know that physical safety is one component, but there's also mental and social and emotional safety as well. And those have to include living and being around others, growing and learning, and sending kids to school was the best choice for many of our families, and we were extremely excited to be able to welcome them back. I know I've got teachers that were so grateful to be back in their classrooms again and be with students, and every single day has just really, you look at it as a gift. When our schools were shut down in March, we didn't really realize what a gift that we had when people could go to work every day and do what they love to do, and all of a sudden it's taken away. It makes you appreciate it to a different level.
And parents that aren't comfortable sending their kids to school, there's been accommodations for them.
Yes, and I think that is one of the beautiful things about this school year. I believe it's actually going to continue long into the future. So this pandemic has actually provided many opportunities for us to learn and grow, and I think create even new and better systems for the future for kids. And one of those is a virtual learning option. And even in the past years, we've had different situations. A student has to have surgery or has to be gone for an extended amount of time, and you send the packets of papers with them, or you try to get them to get homework done ahead of time. And now with our virtual learning opportunity and how we've figured out to get kids into school virtually so that they can still participate along with their classmates opens up all sorts of new doors. And luckily for families this year, by the time we started school, that opportunity was available to anyone who wanted it. You didn't have to have a medical reason, but any family who chose, felt safer having their children learn from home, can take advantage of that opportunity. And those who want to send their kids to school can do that as well. So I think we've kind of found the best of both worlds.
Well, and I should tell our listeners that we might sound a little odd because we're keeping our 6 feet distance.
Yes.
What's the general attitude? I mean, the kids, the teachers. I ran into one of my favorite teachers the other day, Mrs. Galizzi, and she just told me how well the little kids are doing in her, kindergarten class,
yes,
and how they're just really having fun, wearing their masks, doing their jobs of keeping themselves as safe as they can as little kindergartners. That's just remarkable.
It is. And I think that speaks volumes to our basic human need of being around others and getting to learn in a group of peers. When young kids start school, they have to learn how to sit properly and, follow directions and keep a schedule. Wearing a mask is just one more of those new things that children learn how to do, and they find value in what they're doing. So some of those rules are acceptable for them, to go ahead and comply with. And I would say because our students all had a 5-month break, and again, having that long of a break and knowing there was a possibility that they wouldn't be coming back to school with friends and teachers and having those opportunities, I think was kind of a wake-up call that, ooh, I've had so many students say, if you need me to wear a mask to be here, I will gladly do that. You know, if you want me to wear a hat or a coat or whatever it is, I'll do what you're asking me to do because I want to be in school. I want to be learning there. I want to be learning with my friends and be able to participate in activities. And if wearing a mask is what it's going to take to make that happen, we're happy to do so.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Cassie Pearson, superintendent of Knoxville Public Schools.
Well, now, one of the things that people want to know, whether it's schools or businesses, just different organizations, they want to know what procedures are in place to protect people. We've already talked about masks. What else is what other procedures are in place to make sure our kids and staff are safe?
One of the things that we believe is part of the parenting responsibility is to check your child, and if you have an older child, have them monitoring their own health and well-being on a daily basis. If you wake up, the message is, if you are sick and not feeling well, don't come to school. If you have a fever, do not leave your house. And so making sure that our families are checking in on each other and making sure. Now, some people have allergies or, you know, you have that annual cold. If it is something that you are very used to or you take medication for, you continue to work with your doctor, you operate in the same fashion. But if it's something that you don't know what kind of an illness it could be, we're asking families and staff members, stay home. If you need to go see the doctor, if it has any of the symptoms that would be related to COVID-19, check in with your care provider and get checked out, and then follow the recommendations of your care provider. And so that's probably the most important mitigation strategy. Wearing the mask is another one. Keeping 6-foot distance, we try to do that as often as we can. The exposure definition includes being within 6 feet of someone else for a consecutive 15 minutes. So one of the other pieces that we are doing is you keep moving. We don't want a teacher and a student, you know, sitting at a table together for more than 15 minutes or for even 15 minutes. So our young students, when they have their small group reading time, they all do have their face covering on, but they're there for 10 minutes and you keep moving because it's that amount of time in that close space that enough of the virus could be transferred and potentially have an exposure to catch it if someone was asymptomatic and positive. And so that's another one of those strategies is watch be under the 15-minute time frame when you're close to somebody. Washing your hands, and my preference is good old soap and water hand washing. Many of our elementary classrooms actually have sinks in their classrooms, so they're able to do that. Depending on what building and what time of day, we also have purchased $20,000 worth of hand sanitizers and stands so that those could be at all of our doors. And we are asking people to use the hand sanitizer and then wash again as often as you can with soap and water. Those are probably the main mitigation strategies that the school district is using. And we continue to listen to our medical experts. If they come up with something new that they find during research, then we will implement those as well.
More in depth after this. I I continued my conversation with Cassie Pearson, superintendent of Knoxville Public Schools.
There's been some concern expressed about transparency, about how some other districts are putting up dashboards of how many cases, what grade levels, what building. And there's been some concern expressed, my understanding, by teachers and members of the community that Knoxville isn't doing that. Is there a reason that you're not doing that? I don't want you to judge other districts. I mean, you wouldn't anyway. But why not just put that up?
One of the things that we have really emphasized here is putting time and energy into the activities that make the most difference. And we have worked very closely with Marion County Public Health to very thoroughly complete the contact tracing. And anyone who has a possible exposure to someone who's tested positive has a right to know that. And so we are spending our energy and our time doing the contact tracing and working directly with families that have possibly had an exposure, and then those families can keep their own children safe and monitor their health, possibly work with their care provider. And so anyone who has had a risk has been notified. So the people who need to know health conditions are aware of those health conditions. The general population, I think, if they think about from the very beginning of this global pandemic, what the CDC, the state, and the county have all talked about, the positive cases are disseminated at the county level. And the county is the one who can tell us how many positive cases are in the county, but they cannot disclose the community for that case, because it would be easier to identify who that positive case possibly could be. And our school buildings are much smaller than a county. You know, Marion County has 33,500 residents. Our building has 250 to 500. So it's a much smaller population. And so if the county couldn't identify what city somebody lived in, I don't think it's best practice to actually identify a number in a school building that has as few as 250 students, and we're talking children. It's very easy, I think, for people to figure out who that positive case could be, and we have a legal responsibility to keep the health conditions of both our staff and our students confidential. That is part of the rights and the laws. And so it's a very fine balance of providing information that people would like to know, have a desire to know, and making sure that we are being responsible with confidential information at the same time. So taking our kind of our cues from the big picture level of what the county was able to provide. And there isn't anyone else. I have visited with all of our other community partners, and no other business feels that they are large enough either to provide positive numbers. So you won't see anything from the hospital or from any of our manufacturers or business community or city governments, county governments, because again, if they put a number out there, they don't have a large enough population, and it's really too easy for people to identify who that positive case could be. And the school is in that same boat.
So if I, as a member of the public, learn that, or with kids in school, if I learn that, seven third graders at North Star and one teacher were exposed, then what's wrong with me knowing that?
I'm curious, what good does it do you, or what can you do about that?
So I'm just, in general, nosy.
Yes. And as human beings we are, we would love to know everything. And I think in the age of technology now, we are used to having instant knowledge about such a wide variety of things. And it's, it's hard sometimes to be disciplined and to recognize that I don't have a need to know that. I don't have a right to know that. And with the positive cases of COVID, school districts are bound by law that most of our records are public documents, and people could do a Freedom of Information Act request and get those. You couldn't do a FOIA request about COVID cases because it would fall under the confidential health records of our students and staff. And that is a statement as well, that this isn't publicly accessible data. And so I think we need to be very careful about how we treat it.
Okay, so my natural thing is I want to know if my kids and grandkids or my spouse or whoever is a staff member, if they're safe. And so what you're saying is that if they're not safe, if they've been exposed, I'm going to know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and so it's the old adage, no news is good news. If our parents and our staff members have not been contacted by our nurse in Marion County Public Health, they don't have an exposure, you know, for anything that we're aware of at the school. Now, outside of school, I don't know what else is going on, but we are tracking. We have assigned seats and, on the bus, in our classrooms, in our lunchrooms, we have cameras so we can go back, and that's how we're doing contact tracing. And we will contact the families and staff members of anyone who has a possible exposure. And so I do think that people should rest assured, if they have a need to know, they will know.
Are there likely consequences? Let's just say that somebody figures out exactly who has been exposed or who has it, if it's an identifiable enough situation and you know, are there potentially any negative implications for the student or staff member that has been exposed? Are there any social ramifications that you can think might happen?
We just want to make sure that from a school standpoint, we're doing everything we can to protect that information. If the individuals themselves want to share that, that is their prerogative. But I do think anything around health and well-being should be treated very carefully. As part of the work that I do every week is meeting with other superintendents across the state, and we have had a lot of deep conversation and sharing about situations that others have experienced. So one of the things that some districts are finding is that it's almost like a scarlet letter. And I'm gonna go back to this summer with softball and baseball. If there was a positive case and a program was shut down and wasn't able to finish the season, that can be a highly emotional charge for students, student athletes, and families. And some of the fallout of that was being treated poorly and ostracized, and no one chooses to get this virus. You know, this is just part of the world we live in. And so we really do want people to be aware that there is no shame in anyone who has had the virus. The most important thing is to take care of yourself, work with your doctor. We want everybody to be healthy, whether that means finding ways to avoid getting the virus, or if you have contracted the virus, to do what it takes to get back into a healthy healthy stance. And at the same time, understand that the nature of people sometimes isn't always nice and kind, even though that's the message we are preaching all the time right now, especially during this global pandemic and in the world that we live in. We need more people to be kind and nice and less judgmental, and to give some grace, because that isn't always the case. And it is truly up to the adults that surround these children to help protect them and to show them the right way to treat other people, regardless of who they are, what they're going through at the time, kindness is so important. And that is part of one of our big goals, is being a caring community, showing compassion.
Thanks to Cassie Pearson for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.